now that we got that out of the way. Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text today is not the gospel lesson, nor is it an epistle or the Old Testament lesson or the reading from Acts. It actually is all of those, and it's encompassed in these words. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I need to get a Kleenex. One moment. Why is it that children make you cry? My sons would do the same thing to me. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what kind of religion do you want? Do you want a religion of power? Sign seeker opt for power. They want to see a miracle. During our Lord's ministry, Jesus was beset by people always seeking a sign. They wanted him to prove himself by doing a powerful miracle. It's not if God doesn't demonstrate his power daily. After all, God validated the preaching of the prophets and the apostles by miraculous signs. Remember how Moses did greater miracles than Pharaoh's wise men? The miraculous crossing of the Red Sea was a very powerful demonstration as the Israelites walked across on dry ground. Maybe, just maybe, you want a religion of wisdom. Many are seeking wisdom today. They are actually obsessed by it. The word philosophy can be translate it this way, a friend of wisdom or a lover of wisdom. Philosophers through the ages have reveled in their own intelligence, their own ability to debate and to win each time. And it is their great insights into the nature of things. It's as if they know more than God. By the way, they usually tell you if there is a God. When it comes to wisdom, God provides it. Indeed, Solomon in Proverbs identifies the second person of the Holy Trinity as wisdom. St. John calls him Hologos, the Word. If you want wisdom, Christianity is your religion. That's where you find wisdom and power. But it's God's power and it's God's wisdom. And both are revealed in the Christ. God's power and God's wisdom are revealed in the preaching of him crucified, the preaching of the cross. To me, the preaching of the cross is wisdom everlasting. Thy death alone redeems my loss. On thee my burden casting, I in thy name a refuge claim from sin and guilt and from all shame. Blessed be thy name, O Jesus, blessed be thy name. This, dear one, is God's wisdom. This is God's power. The world thinks all of this is foolishness. Those who are being rescued from the imminent destruction coming upon this world hear the message of the cross as God's power. Matthew and Ryan, they will now understand this message now that they have been saved by baptism. You have just seen the great power and wisdom of God in word and in water. And most people don't even believe that either. They still see baptism as something they do. And if they don't do it, then it's of no use. You see, those out there who are perishing, they are of the world, and they think all of this, they think it's foolish. Power and wisdom are highly valued by religious people. Look through the religious section of the bookstore at Walmart or your favorite bookstore. Look at the titles of the books. Browse them. Think about them. And what do you see? They promise you power. They promise you victory. And they promise you a successful life. Every day is a Friday for you. How to Christianity sells. And by the way, it makes big, big money. You see, people want to be empowered. They want to think that they're in charge, that they have the wisdom and power to do this. Yes, people want wisdom and they want power. They want the solution to all of life's problems, just as you do. They want answers to social, economic, and political problems, which cause terrible distress, there's no doubt. But you should also know that social, economic, and political problems are never going away. They will always be with us. Actually, you know, and I know, that they'll actually get worse. So they make Jesus into the premier social worker, the social engineer, who can replace all the systemic, there's that funny word again, systemic evils with peace, man's peace, and with justice, man's justice. Sign seekers and wisdom seekers want the very same thing. They crave this. They must have it. You know what it is. Control. They want to be in control. They want their religion to be about them. They want their religion so that they can tell you what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And that they will always tell you the right thing to do, even though God has no dealings in it whatsoever. It's all about them, me, myself, and I. They look to religion to solve all their problems. And they want all their problems solved for their benefit. But their wisdom, dear one, and their power, dearly beloved, they are not from God. The preaching of the cross does not put me, the preaching of the cross does not put you or anyone in charge. It actually makes us weak. It makes us a fool. It teaches you to cherish the power and wisdom of God as your greatest good. Yet, dear one, you must always remember, God's power and weakness are folly. They are folly and weakness to the world. In the eyes of this dying, wicked world, God's power and God's wisdom is laughable. Yet we preach Christ and Him crucified. The crucifixion of Jesus plainly displays before our eyes the devastating nature of our sin. Look at him suffering. Look at him suffering. He is suffering for you. Who is he? He is your God, your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer. And not only that, as we have seen today in the waters of holy baptism and by the power of the word, he is also our brother and our friend. Why should Jesus suffer so? It's because of your sin and your sin and your sin, your sin and my sin. That's why he had to suffer so. It is he who took our place. He took the wounds and the stripes. He took the thorns and the nails and the mockery. He took the pain of body and soul. And he took the overwhelming sorrow of being forsaken by his Father and our Father in heaven. Jesus endured all of this for you. Why? Love. That's the word. Love. He truly loves each and every one of you. And therefore, he sacrificed himself for each and every one of you. The message of the cross is a stumbling block to those whose God, by the way, that's a God in a lowercase g, who would never, ever, never, ever consider becoming incarnate. It is the world's God that would never, ever even consider of dying for them. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are so smart and who are so well educated that they can even manage to define sin their own. And what do? They define it out of existence as it doesn't even apply to them. The world cannot comprehend sin. We know it. We know it very well. God's command to love him first and most is very clear. Who can argue with it? God's command to love each and every one, to love your neighbor equally, is very clear. Who can argue with it? But can you claim, can I claim, love of God and love of neighbor with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Can you truly claim to love your neighbor as yourself? Can you truly say that you always place God first in your life? What about your sin? Don't make excuses. Don't project them onto other people. Don't change the subject. What about your sins? They are either on you, dearly beloved, or they're on Christ. Either Jesus is crucified for you and atoned for all your sin, or you and I must bear my burden and you must bear your burden, and therefore attempt to appease the divine justice of a holy God. Look to the cross and see what God says about sin. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, the Son of Man, and the Son of God. Look to the cross and hear what God says about the forgiveness of your sins. You know these words well. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He also says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The preaching of the cross does not deny sin. It confronts it head on. Sin makes God angry. You must know this. It makes God our enemy. It voids us of any spiritual power or wisdom. The preaching of the cross faces these bitter truths and proclaims God's wisdom and proclaims God's power. His wisdom, which the world thinks as folly, is the only solution to our deepest needs. Only the God-man, the one crucified for sinners, can take away all your sin. Only by Christ Jesus, bearing the sins of all sinners and your sin and my sin, can God's anger be appeased. The only way that we can be reconciled to God is that God join himself to us, that he himself take on human flesh, suffer for our sins, bear our guilt, and die. This is how God takes away your sin. This is how he satisfies his divine justice. This is how God fulfills the righteous promise of his grace and rescues us, just as he has rescued two young boys this morning from death and the power of the devil. Yes, we preach Christ crucified. It's what we preach as Lutherans. It's what we should preach as Christians. All Christians should preach this. It's not who does the preaching, though. As you've heard with the children, preachers come and go, but Christ will always remain. They're just like those to whom they preach. I am no different than any of you. We pastors are sinners. I am the chief of sinners. Paul is actually wrong. I'm the chief of sinners. And I have failed to love God above all things, and my neighbor as myself. The law that I preach, the law that pastors are to proclaim, they must first preach to themselves. They, like you, must live under grace, under the shelter of the blessed cross. Weakness and folly, the world says. No, we say, look to the cross. Here is life and here is salvation. Here is wisdom and here is power. We cherish this. Yes, it looks like God is weak, but it is actually his almighty power. It looks like God is a great fool, but it's actually his eternal wisdom. The crucifixion of the Son of God is where the power to destroy all of your enemies comes from. It is by his crucifixion that our minds are enlightened and where it is revealed to us his great love for us. The world in all of its wisdom cannot know God. He, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, reveals himself in suffering and in death and in resurrection. Here in this nave, God brings the cross into your lives. The Holy Gospel sounds forth. It must always sound forth from this pulpit, as you have heard with your children. You must never, ever tolerate a man who will stand here and preach about himself or someone else other than Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, always. You must never tolerate a man who does not properly serve to you the Lord's body and blood. You must never, ever tolerate a man who will stand at this font and say it's all about you. You must never, ever tolerate that. No, all of these things are for you, not about you, but for you. Thanks be to Jesus. So, dear ones, here in this place is the life-giving death of Jesus, and here it is proclaimed. Here it is put into your hearts by the power of the Word through His blessed sacraments. Even as He has risen from the dead, we know that we also will rise from the dead, and that includes our loved ones across Shum Road. That is His promise. God is not a liar. These are our lives, and these are your lives under the cross. The power and wisdom of our sinful flesh, desires that we cannot accomplish on our own. All that sin is forgiven. Dear ones, I leave you with these words. Christ's crucifixion has set you free. He set you free because of the power of His Word, because of His wisdom. God, as perfectly righteous, has also made you righteous. And because of that, you now have the power to defy Satan. You have the power over death, and you have the power over the grave because of what Jesus has done for you. Do not become discouraged. The Lord will send to you a pastor. It'll be your 24th pastor. And as He done with John George and with all of the Shums and all of his relatives, which includes all of you, He will remain faithful. God is always faithful. And He will send a man. He will send a man according to His time, not according to yours, but according to His time. Therefore, very soon I will pray for you, and I will pray a vacancy prayer for you. And I've asked your seminarians and whoever will succeed to also pray that prayer until a man kneels at this altar and is ordained or installed as your pastor. But know this, your great shepherd lives, and He will not abandon you. He will not leave you as an orphan. He will come to you, and He will serve to you body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and to life and salvation. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.